The World Show with Nikki B on Kaya 959.
Yes, this is The World Show, and thanks for all the love that's coming through regarding Cornelius's set. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being with us. And right now, my 2 second guests are with us. I've got Ilse Dragon.
Ilse Roberts. Can be a bit of a dragon at
times. It's all that fire. Ilse Roberts, the director of Smoking Dragon Festivals. Hi, Ilse.
Hi. Nice to see you, Nikki.
Good to see you too.
Yes.
And it's been a long time coming that you should have been on the World Show.
Oh.
Because I'm such a fan of the festival and what you do there. And also welcome to Bonolo Mafoyane, Something Brown.
Hi, Nikki.
Good. And you've come this time in a different context, but sure. Next time, and this I promise you, next time you come to the World Show, it's because you're going to be mixing live.
Yes.
Please.
Yes, I look forward to that. Thank you.
Sure, sure. So, Ilse, tell me, let's start with Smoking Dragon Festivals. How did this come about?
So, 24 years ago, when I was a young thing, I started this backpacking lodge for foreign tourists. And I used to do these New Year's Eve parties. But I've always been a great follower of music. I love music. I play a bit of music myself. And I used to bring in people to come and DJ and so on and so forth. And people started to go, Ilse, we really love your lineups.
Yes.
Because what I like to do is create these little musical journeys. So it's not the idea of doing one genre. The idea is that you just move through all the different genres and people would really love it. So then it would move on to a three-day, you know, jaw over New Year. And then 13 years ago, I decided that I would rather give it its own identity and started doing the official Smoking Dragon New Year's Eve festival. I've done a few other festivals, like a women's festival that you even played at.
Yes.
And so on, and an adrenaline and other things under Smoking Dragon. And I do these Road to Smoking Dragon things that I've been doing in Joburg and so on. But the biggest one and the most well-known is the New Year's Eve one.
And I think the first time you invited me to play was 12 years ago.
I think it was 12 years ago. The second one. Yes.
And there's no turning back. Let me tell you, the environment is absolutely beautiful. Tell us where Amphitheatre Backpackers is.
So in the northern Drakensberg, which is interestingly not as well known to South Africans. So most people know the southern Berg better, or maybe even the central Berg, but the northern Berg's up near Kwakwa on the edge. But it's actually home. The Amphitheatre Mountain is the home of the highest waterfall in the world, the Tugela Falls. So the lodge looks onto this beautiful mountain, and surrounded all around there is all the Nkosi's land and, you know, beautiful areas like Mweni, there's Royal Natal and so on. A very, very top hiking destination. And lots of really interesting people live in that area. It's a fascinating area, actually. And there's and then to the right of it is a whole lot of battlefields, and it's so steeped in history. It's got the largest constellation of rock art in the world. It's a very, very stunning area in its own right, besides the fact that it's the home of the festival.
Yes, and in fact, if I can add to that, one of the beauties for me of the venue itself is that it's in the amphitheater bowl.
Yes.
So it's like, almost as, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost as you entering the Drakensberg range. So you've got this view of the whole range.
Yes.
Actually. And of course, it's just not very far. You can go and start climbing and swimming and whatever else you want to do in the mountains.
Yeah, it's basically an interesting area because it's that point the Drakensberg does this concave curve. So you get this, you're actually seeing the whole of the amphitheater in Mweni all the way to Monk's Kraal. And then from then onwards, it curves back on itself. So you only see little bits at a time normally. But at our place, you see this huge panorama. And yes, that's of all the biggest peaks and the highest waterfall. And you can see the very tip is actually Lesotho, where we go into Lesotho through Kwakwa. So it's a very special area, very, very special. And was very special to the first people, because that's why there's all these amazing cave paintings in the area. It's a very sort of sacred space, seen as quite a sacred space in certain circles.
Yes, I know. In terms of, I know a lot of Sangomas,
yes,
who actually go regularly that region,
yes,
for I suppose
ceremonial reasons and so on. That's correct.
Exactly. But now the first festival, how was that, and how has it evolved till now?
So the first festival, the first festival is hilarious, actually. So we built this little tiny concrete slab that was going to be our stage. I think we built it like 2 days before. And the roof was kind of like, we had this thatch and we did this little roof, and then, and we were so keen and everything, and then there was this massive lightning storm and it like blew all the thatch off. And it was actually amazing. Everybody was in the rain dancing in the mud, and there was just mud, and the mud was like hammering, and everyone was just, oh, it was actually so, well, probably one of my favorites. That really kicked Smoking Dragon off, because it was such an authentic, beautiful, really in tune with nature, this amazing journey of music. It was fantastic. I loved it. And now it's, this year we'll have seven stages of music.
Seven stages.
Yeah. So each stage is a different genre. So
tell us about the genres.
So the first one is the main stage, which I call mainstream, because I don't see it as the main stage, in fact, because each stage in its own way has its own value, which is equal to the other. So I call it mainstream because it's kind of people that have hit the mainstream media and that. So on that stage, we will sometimes have people that are on the fringe and so on, and then they get into the mainstream stage another year. So that stage will host people, has hosted all the people, like Jeremy Loops over the years. BCUC's playing this year.
I think Sampiwe Dana has played.
Jack
yes.
Parry. So you see, I really flavor it up. So yes. I get Jack Parry and Sampiwe plays, and then Jack's next, you know?
Yes.
Quite cool. And then, you know, so then, so this year it's BCUC. We've got Blackjacks. We've got a whole lot of like Sunclaw Experiment. And then I also throw in interesting collaborations, which was quite fun. So that's the mainstream. Then you've got the Fringe. The Fringe is probably my favorite stage in some ways, because I collaborate with Black Labone, Isa from Pretoria, and I collaborate with like the global select. I collaborate with people from Mlazi, people like Red. Anyway, so we get in these really cool, interesting, beautiful sounds, and there we have a whole lot of. A whole lot of different people this year. Let me just tell you one or two of the highlights. Muntu Soul Native. We've got Nikki B playing there.
Yeah, I've got to go
yes,
to that one.
Yes. Tulani the Warrior. And then Chepang Ramoba, who's like the drummer from Blackjacks. Bussy Jazz. I don't know if you know Bussy Jazz. Amazing. I must get you in touch with Bussy Jazz. Yes. Amazing pianist. Amazing
yes.
pianist. Hey,
where's Bussy Jazz from?
She's Joburg, eh?
Sure, actually.
But
yes.
No,
it's insane. A lot of DJs like featuring her in their actual live DJ sets. And she just plays keys over.
With them.
Yes. With them. So DJ fantastic. Fingers will be playing, and she's going to be playing this live jazz piano.
Lovely.
It's amazing.
Lovely.
And then we've got the Moraks.
Moraks, yeah.
And Something Brown's also going to play.
Yeah.
Candace Africa. There's a whole load of different sounds on that stage. And then we've, Shem, I must flash through it. And then we've got also very close to my heart is the Pink Tent. The Pink Tent or Kink Tent, the LGBT friendly space. Well, LGBTQIA+ and heterosexual too are welcome. But nice. What's really important is making a statement about how everyone is free to be who they want to be and free to love who they want to love. And we have we try and support mainly people from the LGBT community that are involved with music. But we also this year are doing some really cool stuff where there's quite a lot of burlesque, and there's this booth where you can go and get transformed. We're going to try and get Nikki B. She's going to we're going to see how we can transform you. But it's a very important stage to us, very important area, and very beautiful musicians there. Very, very good, wonderful musicians. And then we've got the Ripple, which is a really cool area down at the dam from 6 to 6. Nice down tempo, interesting sounds, very interesting sounds. This year we've also got this new stage the Dub Wagon stage. So this is real. It's going to be where there's going to be hip hop battles with the 411 guys are running. We're going to be doing live graffiti. There's going to be people like Don Dada there, and you know, the King International from Jamaica, and yes, it's very cool space. And linked with that is also our new market, which is the 420 market that we're running with guys from Harmony, Makalwane,
Stick Up.
Yes.
So these are just like, I guess, SA's leading CBD brands, you know,
yes,
coming together to, you know, I guess put together this big 420 market.
Amazing.
It's not just selling of these CBD products. There'll be workshops, educational workshops on that, on how you can get licensing, how to cultivate weed, legislation around trading in CBD products. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite an important space.
Work on stage, which is also going to have a lot of reggae artists. Some of them are a connect from these stick-up guys, Matekwana Sokweto. It's a part of their network as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. I want to hear more about the stages, but I think let's take a moment to hear one of the artists that's going to be performing at this year's Smoking Dragon. And you know that I absolutely love these guys. Coming up on the World Show, it's Black Jacks. Can't wait to see them perform in the Drakensberg. Kaya 959. Yes, haven't played that one for a while. Black Jacks, the track is Harari, featuring Morena Laraba off their album Ubuntu Before Humans. Black Jacks, who will be performing as part of this year's Smoking Dragon Festival. Ilse Roberts is with us, the director of the festival. You were telling us about all these stages, and I think we missed one.
Yeah, so the last one is also a new one. It's called The Trance End. So that's bringing in a little bit of trance music, desert tech. It's very interesting, too. You're bringing in a little bit of, you can actually get these nice crossovers. And so it's going to be a small little space. We're trying it out. I've had quite a nice reception. People are quite keen that it's going to happen, yeah. So that was the last stage.
Great. Now, you know, one thing about the location is that you really are kind of, it takes you as long to get there from Joburg as it would from Durban. You really are
in the middle.
In the middle of everything.
Yes. It's equidistant from Durban and Joburg. But the nice thing is, unlike some other festivals you get in the Berg, there's these long, circuitous routes through dirt. This is quite nice. It's you get off, if you're coming from Joburg, you get off the N3, you go on the R74, this beautiful Sterkfontein Dam, and it's tar the whole way, and then boom, you're at the festival. And if you're going from Durban, it's the same thing. So you come off the N3, boom, you're at the festival. So you go through the mountain, but it's on that road that used to be, I think it used to be the main road.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's very easy to access. And people can meet their friends. They can meet, if they're coming from Durban, then they can meet them from Joburg.
That's what I'm...
Very well placed.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Mm. And I'm sure that's also part of what, kind of determines your lineup, is that you want to show people from different regions.
Exactly. So we... Basically, there's a lot of people that, as for example, on the fringe, there's people from Mapaneng, people from Soweto, but then also from Umlazi. And then I've been getting people in from Cape Town. So what we've done this year is we've got these coaches where people can buy a ticket. And so I've started one from Cape Town for the first time, which is quite cool.
Fantastic.
So you jump on the bus. And then you have a little jawl on the bus all night.
Yeah, a party bus.
And then you land at the festival and you have your 3 days jawl at the festival. Mm. And then boom, you go back to Cape Town on the bus.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so we've got some artists from Cape Town as well. And we're going to be doing a few preliminary things in Cape Town and in Khayelitsha and so on, trying to sort of get people interested. So that's quite lucky, you know, to get that. Because it's sometimes a bit of an isolation between Joburg and
this
Cape Town.
Yes.
Yeah, I find that I've always felt sad about that. Because there's some also interesting hip-hop artists from like Mitchell's Plain and Lavender Hill and so on. And, you know, sometimes people miss out on this side of the world. They miss out a little bit.
But while we're talking about, you know, bringing people, is there a way that if people are in Joburg and they don't have a car
There's a coach leaving from Johannesburg. So you can go onto the website, smokingdragon.org, and you'll see it says coach camping combo. And there you can buy your tickets. You jump on here, and we're from Pretoria or from Joburg. We'll do the bus from Pretoria all the way through. And then it'll take you through the mountains, straight to the doorstep of the festival. Off you hop, you do your camping thing, then you pop on the bus again and you come back again.
Brilliant.
And it's they're really nicely priced, nice buses.
It's a nice package deal.
Yeah, very nice. And we're doing the same thing from Durban.
Oh, amazing.
So there's three cities all being serviced by the buses.
Oh, fantastic. So don't let the issue of transport put you off going. You can still get there. You can get on the coach and you can get home. And you spoke about camping.
Yeah, so you can bring your own tent, but we've also got a camping village that's been put together. There's even some en-suite tents, which is quite cool. Yeah, with little potties and a nice shower that gets sort of pull the thing in the bucket. Kind of,
you've got some glamping vibe.
Definitely. Yeah. And they're nice proper beds, sprung mattresses, duvets, blah, blah, blah. And you can have a beautiful time there. There's also beautiful lodges and things in the area. Mm-hmm. That all support us, so you can, if you want, and there's a range. I've got them all on the website as well.
And you also have rooms, or are your rooms already
all completely full,
booked up? Yeah
completely full, which is great.
Yes.
Yeah,
but again, people can know that for next time.
Yeah.
Book early.
Yeah, book
you can
early.
Book a room and and there's different types of accommodation that
yes.
you have as
so
well.
Yes. So from camping to dormitories to nice little ensuite chalets. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And one thing I'll say about it, you know, you can go, you can camp, you can cook yourself. But there's also an amazing kitchen area that's accessible to the whole campsite.
Yes.
So, don't worry. You can bring your own food. You can cook and prepare your own food while you're there as well.
Mm.
And I think that's also
a nice thing to know.
Yeah, a nice thing.
There's a host of food stalls, and sometimes you can cook for yourself, and there's little towns nearby. There's a lot of, if you've got kids and things, there's lots of stuff in the area that's quite nice. There's hiking, there's quad biking, there's horse rides, you know. There's a lot going on. And Bonolo is actually going to be also working with me this year on doing these great workshops that you can do during the day. A whole host of different workshops and things.
Well, let's hear it from Bonolo.
Oh, okay. We decided to sort of, I guess, add other activities that don't involve music and, I guess...
Or, yes.
So the whole idea is that in the morning until the late afternoon, people have different activities that they can do and, of course, I guess, new skills to learn. So it's some of the workshops that are skills-based. You can learn how to DJ on all formats. You can learn how to crochet. There's going to be a music production workshop by Tarimu Ova. I think it's a collab between himself and Black Labone. And you can learn how to do shadow puppetry.
Yes.
You know?
I think there's also yoga.
Yoga and meditation. So these are now the activities. It's more like we have facilitators who help you, how to meditate, how to sip and paint.
Yes, experts in the field.
Yes.
Yes,
definitely experts in the field. People who will be teaching drumming and, of course, the kink workshops. And there's going to be shibari.
Yes, so we've got an interesting there's a woman, Carithia, who's coming out from Berlin just for this. And she teaches shibari, which is the ancient Japanese art of tying, rope tying.
Amazing.
Very, very interesting. And she's going to be showing people. And it's also about learning about consent and relationships. There will be workshops that are run by Dr. Dulcie. Do you know Chai Latte?
Chai Latte.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chai Latte. Fantastic.
She's a fantastic DJ. She's also a great doctor.
She's incredible and done incredible work.
Yes.
So she's going to run these workshops as well, talking to people. So the other thing about these workshops is that we're bringing in people from the community, the immediate community that we will sponsor, so that they can get a feeling for the festival. So every year we've done these workshops in the past, but it's always been before the festival. This year I decided, no, you know what? People can come in and actually enjoy the festival itself, and then ticket holders can also sit with people in the community and enjoy the workshops on didgeridoo or on them doing sound journeys and a whole load of different things.
Yes.
But then there's also this nice integration between urban and rural, which is really a huge part of Smoking Dragon, is about integrating groups of people So you do that through the musical journey, and now you can do it through workshops, through sitting there. And people are very keen, hey, Bonolo. Bonolo's been busy, dealing with loads of people. Yeah, they're really keen on it.
Interested.
Yes.
I think some of them are doing like over 5 workshops at a go in one day.
Wow. Yes. You mean people are hosting 5 workshops or attending?
Attending
and hosting.
So people are really...
has its own program.
Yes, so they've really picked up on this workshop.
Yes.
There's a lot of interest in, especially the cannabis workshops as well, because I think a lot of people trade in CBD products, but they don't know much about licensing, I guess, how to cultivate the different strains, you know. So it's going to be useful, especially for a lot of people trying to, I guess, advance their knowledge, skills, you know, in their fields.
On that note, by the way, I had a comment on Instagram from Mr. Matlu. He says, yo, what does CBD stand for?
it stands for cannabidiol. Yeah, how do you spell
cannabidiol?
I can never say. But it's basically, so like it doesn't make you high. So CBD is without the THC content. Whereas, so this is going to be both the CBD products and also, we legally have got a license to have a thing where you're allowed to buy marijuana.
Yes.
And so in our area,
medicinal marijuana
and so on. Yes. And in our area, that whole Mazizi community have been growing marijuana, and that a lot of children, that's how they've been schooled and fed. I mean, so what's interesting is to bring in the elders and let them attend the workshops, talk to people, because there is this concern that the big moneyed people are going to come in and take away the power from people down in the Eastern Cape and so on that have always been growing these products.
Yes.
So that's why at this Dub Wagon stage, there's a lot of elders coming in from the Eastern Cape that are going to also be attending these workshops, hosting them, some of them, and some of them also learning how to do things legally, so that there's not this typical thing where there's this takeover.
Yes.
You know, like there's places in Canada and that are thinking, great, you can, South Africa, you can start growing it now legally, so let's just swamp everyone.
Let
the corporates come and monopolize. We can't have that, Nikki.
Yeah. And one thing on that note, I've just got to make a point for Mr. Matlu, which was when I had COVID, the only thing that eased me was CBD oil, you know, from the aches and pains.
Right.
And it really helped. So there's definitely benefits to CBD.
You know, especially with people who struggle with anxiety as well.
Mm.
So with the CBD oils, it's like calming agents.
Anxiety, insomnia, and various other.
So there will be people who speak about the health benefits of cannabis, CBD products.
Yes.
And also, it's like also merchandise. So there'll be people selling merchandise, essentials.
Yes.
For people who use CBD products as well.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. But mostly on the mental health thing.
Yes.
There will be talks on that as well.
Yes.
Right.
And I know CBD's also been very valuable for cancer patients.
Mm. Yes.
In, again, pain relief and helping them relax and so forth. I want to hear much more about the stalls and more about the workshops, but I think let's hear another song. I'm so excited Moraix is going to be playing there.
Yes.
I saw him at the Joy of Jazz last night and I said, Moraix, I've playlisted one of your songs because we're talking Smoking Dragon.
Yes.
And he said he's so excited to come. So this one is Moraix's song. It's called Lesotho, even though he's not from Lesotho. Mm. And his album is also called Lesotho. Oh, it's been a while since I played Moraix. I don't know why. Absolutely lovely, the title track of his album called Lesotho. And of course, I'm with Ilse Roberts from Smoking Dragon Festivals and Bonolo as well. Bonolo Mafuyane, we know her as Something Brown. But Ilse, you were just saying it's so appropriate the song is Lesotho.
Yes, because as we're right on the edge of Lesotho there.
Yes.
And we do these trips, actually. People can take part in them at the festival. So a lot of the festival's focus and the backpackers is actually poverty relief in the area. And we've done a lot of collaboration with community. So this is an example of something we do. What we do is we go deep into through Kwakwa, right through Manansa Pass into Lesotho. And there's an area that we base, it's never had any tourism before. So we collaborated with people in the area. There's a school and Sangomas and so on. And we've created our own hike. And we go deep along the edges of these cattle trails. It's really high altitude. And then there's beautiful cave paintings there. And we visit a Sangoma. And then some of the ladies in the area do some unkumbuti and so on. So everyone gets a little bit of money. And we sometimes take two busloads. And then there's every second day, well, before COVID, we were doing really great. And so it's right on the edge there of Lesotho. And it's nice to hear someone singing about Lesotho because it's appropriate with the location.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But this is something you've always been like very thorough. I don't know what word to use, thorough about, which is ensuring that people from the local community are actively involved in the festival. This is not just, you know, a lodge that comes and kind of what I call cultural colonization, where you just dump yourself and you do your own thing in other people's space, really.
Right. I mean, the inspiration.
And you from the region.
Yes. And that's, you know, so what happened was when I started all those, that time ago, the backpacking industry didn't really exist because apartheid had obviously there was no foreign tourism. So a few people came up with this idea of trying to draw foreigners in. And then initially the tourism, that sector wasn't accepted by the tourism industry. Backpacking wasn't, and we had to fight to be accepted as a legitimate sector. And now we're the fastest growing sector within tourism. And the thing about the backpacking industry is all about impact on the local community, making sure that people, it's community-based tourism as opposed to something, okay, I won't mention hotels, but there's certain hotels that are foreign-owned and they're like starships that land there. And they impose their whole, that whole very standard way of doing hospitality, and people aren't paid very well. There's not much skills development going on, blah, blah, blah. Could go on forever. Won't.
Absolutely.
And so the backpacking thing is very different. It's about getting deep in there. People earn a commission for every person that visits. We've gone in and trained up local guides. We were part of the whole theater thing when it started. And people have now their certification. And so at the festival, you can get local guides to take you to the highest waterfall in Africa and go to Lesotho. People in the area come in and help with all this recycling of waste. It's a very eco-friendly festival as well. So that's how the festivals.
And even as performers.
Yes.
You've got DJs coming from the area
exactly,
as well.
Exactly. Yes. And people that
and performers.
And what's quite nice is that you for the workshops, for example, we had this, I'll give you an example of a story. This young guy from Busangata came in. So we let people come for free, come to the workshops, and he was taught there were people that were doing the production with lighting, and they showed a small group of these young boys how lighting works on stage. He was so fascinated. So he went off and he spoke, and I said, no, come, let's chat to the guys that are running this. I said, come, you know, he has a really cool guy. Let's give him a chance. And they said, okay. And he went back with them.
Amazing.
And yeah, went back with them, learned about lighting. And now he's in the States working on films.
Amazing.
Doing lighting, yeah. So that was like a little kid that would maybe not have, would be out with very little, you know, work opportunities and things.
Yes.
And these are the kind, and so there's a lot of people in the area that have started DJing now.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Yes.
You know, and people that have got more and more interested in production and so on. So the festival wants to make an impact at that level.
Yes. It's not just about like arriving and taking over.
No.
It's something that actually integrates.
Yes.
With the communities that live there.
And you want the money to go to the people.
Yes.
You know, so I have a bit of a issue with many events that where there's this huge, we never get any sponsorship from anybody, which is
I know. And you have been running all this time with this amazing festival. In fact, I personally am going to say on air, come on, guys, anyone who has sponsorship budgets, look at a festival like Smoking Dragon. Look what we've just been talking about. It brings together people from all areas of our country. It is completely integrated in the location and with the community and the location that it's in. And I really, and for me, we don't have enough of these beautiful festivals out in these magnificent spaces. So please, guys, put your money where the music is.
We've actually got a crowdfunding on the website. If you look under donate, we've just started the we've just started this donation thing this year. If you go on there, there's crowdfunding, and you can pay towards sponsoring some of the community to come and attend the workshops and so on. So if you pop onto the website and you look under donate, you can choose whether you want to sponsor people in the pink workshops or sponsor people in the fringe workshops, which is the more the arts kind of workshop.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So we're hoping that the crowdfunding, I've never done it before, but since no one else will give me any money.
And you want to give other people opportunities. Well,
exactly. I mean, the one thing about not getting too much corporate sponsorship is obviously we're allowed to do our lineup. We can be very progressive in what we do. But one hopes that sponsors will not dictate these more commercial terms. You know, that's what needs to happen in South Africa.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And allow for this grassroots.
Yes, grassroots.
To emerge.
Exactly. So instead of going, I want my brand, I want this, I want these people to play and not those people. You know, you're wanting it to have people right at the... Just because somebody isn't well-known yet doesn't mean they don't have a beautiful offering. So a lot of people have grown from our festival. Sankai, we were the first... There's quite a number of different acts. We've worked with Cornelius, something Brown, and you know, and then you give people a platform, and the audience are amazed. And so we've become known as a place where you might not know everyone on that lineup, but you go there and you leave knowing a whole lot.
And I've always discovered something at Smoking Dragon. Yeah. I've always discovered a new act for me. Yes. Bonolo, I keep coming to you but not getting to you. And I think we've got to talk a little bit about what kind of stalls are there? What's the setup?
Okay. So we've got different food stalls doing different types of foods, catering for meat eaters and non-meat eating people.
Oh, good.
And ice cream stalls, smoothies, tea, coffee. So there's a whole variety, and of course, people who do snacks. We just landed at Biltong store, so that's going to be quite
So you've got a lot of food stores. Have you got craft stalls as well?
So we're going to have a section for specifically for craft vendors, craft jewelry, boho clothing, tie-dye products, vapes. We have a vape store that's going to be there as well. Of course, the CBD people as well.
Yes.
So,
and of course, these workshops. Now, Bonolo, I'm not sure, we've never spoken about this. Mm-hmm. So is this working with Smoking Dragon? Is this the first time you've gone into this realm of markets and workshops?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what has this journey been like, and how did you get to be doing this job?
Okay.
And let me tell you, she's fantastic to work with.
Yes, very lovely to work with.
So how I started, we were all at the festival last year, and, you know, when you have your ear to the ground, you hear some things, and it's like, what I noticed was that she didn't really have a big team to basically help her out.
And it was also post-COVID, so it was really a difficult time. Yeah.
So I actually approached them, like, let me help you with stalls or admin, any type of admin. And this was now leading up to the Full Moon Festival in April.
Yes.
And that's how I got into it. I started out helping out, and then she hired me.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So I've worked with other festivals doing other types of admin as well, but this type of admin, it's my first time.
Yes.
It's my first time.
And what for you is very exciting from the area that you're working on with the stalls, with the workshops? What for you, as Bonolo, as something Brown even, what is it that you think, gosh, I want to attend that, or I want to taste that?
I guess having been at the festival previous years, I sort of, I've always enjoyed the food. The food is amazing. They sell great food there. And I guess the variety in the types of food you can choose from. But really, I like doing this because it's giving me experience outside of the spotlight, being a DJ and just arriving and working, doing your DJ set. Most of the time, you don't really get a sneak peek into what goes on into the planning of this festival that you're playing at. So I'm really enjoying that experience, knowing the ins and outs of how things are going in the background, the admin that goes into basically ensuring that everybody plays on time, everybody has their stall in the right place. Yeah, I guess it's a nice kind of experience to gain.
You know, something that I have increasingly become aware of working on festivals over the past while is that people think, a festival impacts the economy of the music economy. But actually, if you think about it, a festival, a single music festival, is not just employing the musicians, and not just the musicians, the sound guys, the guys who build the stage, but it's also employing cleaners, the ambulance services, the guy who puts up the fences, the people who cook the food.
Volunteers as well.
Volunteers as well. You know, and I'm just touching on the amount of people that are involved, even indirectly and directly, in the amount of employment it generates. It's not just about the music and the people on the stage.
True.
You know?
True.
And I think Smoking Dragon is a brilliant example of that, how the community at large benefits. True. You know?
Food stalls as well.
Yes.
I think they're going to make some decent money this year.
Yes.
I think the deal we are cutting with them this year is more, what's the right word? It's more economic.
Yes. Well, we're not taking money. Yeah. We're just doing a barter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing.
Which they're very happy with. So they're going to help us feed the artists. Mm. And then they're not going to, because sometimes they get charged a huge amount. Mm. These vendors that do craft as well, you know.
Yes.
So we try to just rather have loads of stalls, lots of interaction, and help grow the local economy. COVID's been horrendous. People have struggled. There's been a lot of people that have closed up shop and gone on to other things. We're hoping that this will be this lovely, bright, shining new entry into 2023 where everyone makes a bit of money, you know, there's lovely interaction. And yes, you're right, there's so many other parts to a festival than just the musicians.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's a pity that there aren't more festivals. It's a pity that arts and culture don't give more money for festivals.
Yes.
I recently went to Berlin and England, and I traveled around, and I mean, I went to Amsterdam, and you know, you can see that the local municipalities, what, I don't know what they refer to them
yes.
as, they pay for these little festivals, and people are employed, and there's a nice vibe and everything, and then there's not like all this worry about how do we get. I wish this happened a lot more in South Africa, you know.
I really do, and especially considering the landscape, the weather. We are
exactly. perfect for festivals.
For music festivals.
Yeah, they should be sponsoring. They should be getting them going, you know?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. I've got to squeeze in a couple more songs. And you spoke earlier about acts that maybe are not like on the mainstream. And I saw someone perform last year, and I knew him from a couple of collaborations he's done with other artists. But it was the first time I saw Naftali perform. And it was the most beautiful performance. I am so, so excited that you are bringing him back to perform this year. Check it out. Here is Naftali with one of his singles, Keo Shwa, coming up now on The World Show.
Kai ke pela kai na
Kaya 959 Keshwa. Isn't he absolutely amazing? Naftali is his name, and he is going to be performing at Smoking Dragon Festival over New Year. Bonolo, you were telling me something about Naftali setting up a stall, and
yes.
Explain what you were saying.
He's going to be also setting up a herbal tea stall. He's got his own brand called Kaputla Organic Tea.
Oh,
so
amazing.
Usually when he performs, sometimes his tea stalls functions as a backdrop of
yes.
the stage sometimes.
It's part of the performance.
Yes, his performance, yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so he's going to be setting up as well.
So a few of the artists
also... A few
other
artists are going to be doing that. So this is what's happening. So an artist has more than one skill or whatever, right? And outside of their performances, they'll either be doing a workshop or setting up a store, or, you know. So there's always something else that other artists are doing beyond
yes.
just performing.
Yes. Just
to make extra money as well, and I guess put their names out there as different types of brands, you know. And
yes.
not just Naftali, but also Kaputla, if I may put it like that.
Yes, yeah. And not just arrive, do your set, leave.
No, but
it's actually very interactive. Part of that festival community. Yes.
That's what most people are doing.
Yes, I love that. So is this something that you've seen quite a lot of response from artists saying, can I also do this? Or
yes, absolutely. Yes. There's been a few who... the guy who's going to be doing upcycling, the workshop, he was initially coming on as just for someone who's going to set up a stall.
Yes.
Via the collab you have with Black Labone, yes. I think. Yes. And then, yeah, he got in touch. He's like, I'd also like to do a session on upcycling. So what he does, he uses... Let's say pegs, you know. He takes pegs and he creates earrings out of that, or neck pieces, yes. or head pieces.
Or plastic bottles, and makes them into beautiful, sure. either wearable or functional earrings. Or decorative. Yes.
And Tabiso
as well is an artist that's going to be performing. He's the one who's going to be conducting the sip and paint. He's actually a wine painter.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah. Yes. So it's these kind of exchanges that are happening as well. So if there are artists who if you're on the lineup and you know you want to do a stall or a workshop, you get in touch and we find ways.
So, yeah, for instance, Tabiso Tabete, mm-hmm. he's going to do this, you know, beautiful performance, and then he will be doing the sip and paint with the wine. And then two other people said, oh, can we play cello and flute while you're teaching the sip and paint?
Oh, fantastic.
So there's going to be like this beautiful live cello and flute and the sip and paint, and it's all just this flow, right? Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
But Ilse, this is something you've always been on about, which is collaboration, forming partnerships. Let's see how we can work together.
Yes.
And really, that is part of the spirit of this festival.
Yes, it is. It is. And I hope a lot of people will come this year and understand that it's a 3 days of not just music, although the music's going to be dynamite.
The music's almost like the thread that pulls everything together. And as you know, that's my area. So I'm going to be playing. I've got a couple of different sets happening on different days, which always excites me, because
the Biz Workshop, you are doing a Biz Workshop, remember?
Yes. Thanks for
teaching
reminding
people
me.
How to package their music.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about
how
that
to package
well.
Your music radio, and present your music for broadcasters, to compilers, and really how to present yourself as an artist in the best possible way. So I hope to see
so
you.
So now
there.
Everyone's going to be signing up for Nikki's workshop.
Yeah, there's been a few. There's already been a few.
They've already got people signed up. We're going to be beating them away with the broomstick.
But just to wrap up this wonderful chat, the best place, where can people go, access tickets, find out more info?
Yeah, so smokingdragon.org. That's the website's pretty, it's a lot going on there, so you just have to go through it carefully. If you guys are wanting to do workshops, you need to have a ticket first. Use your order number and then you can look through. There's loads of different workshops. Choose what you're wanting to do. You can also see that we've got an Instagram page, Smoking Dragon Festival, and that's quite. And we've also got Facebook page, yes. Smoking Dragon Festival. So
Facebook's quite good, also with the updates.
It
and
is
the
quite
whole program.
Good. Yeah. There's about 17,000 people following us there, and then there's my personal WhatsApp number that everybody has access to, so I will always answer.
It's
0825512495.
Please repeat.
0825512495. And then there's also Ilse at Smoking Dragon, which is spelled like I love South Africa. So it's Ilse at smokingdragon.co.za. And you guys can email me there. And then, so those are all the different ways of getting hold of us.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for coming and sharing, chatting about
this. Great fun.
This wonderful, wonderful festival. I am a firm lover of Smoking Dragon festivals. So I'm going to end off tonight's feature with another artist that is performing. And in fact, I was chatting to him. When was it? I think it was on Thursday, because this weekend's been so busy. And he sent me a brand new song. He said, this song hasn't yet been released. And he definitely wanted to share it with me first. And it's my absolute pleasure and my honor to be sharing this song from Don Dada. And of course, we've got to represent the roots reggae side of the festival and the performers. And Don Dada will be performing there. So it's called, the song's called One for Another. From me, Nikki B, to you, whatever else you do this week, make sure that you keep shining. And of course, Keep it Kaya. Rastafari, Dandana in the building, Rafka Studio, Lord of Mercy, big things are going. Boom, 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 boom.
The World Show with Nikki B. Every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959.